This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good, usually. But today, we have something a little different for you.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I am your second Bad Ideas host.
And it's me, lucky number three, Zach Valenti, at your service. And today, we bring you a pandemic edition of our classic Creative Corner Chat.
Pandemic edition.
It's the pandemic parlor, if you will.
Pandemic party.
No parties. No parties, guys.
Socially isolated party.
Yes.
Courtesy of the Zoom pandemic Corporation.
Oh my gosh. Y'all.
The Zoom Corporation, which is making not only our continued podcasting lives, but at this point, really just our continuing lives
possible.
A little
That's
bit.
True.
A little yeah. bit. And by a little bit, I mean more than a little bit.
But real talk for just a moment. The three of us live in New York City. Two of us live in Brooklyn. One of us lives in Harlem. And around here, it's basically been real life has been completely on pause for about 2 to 3 weeks now, depending on kind of like when you start counting. And I think that like we've all been kind of in a similar place of we're not going outside except when it's absolutely essential. We're not seeing anyone except for the people that we're already living with.
Yeah.
We're doing our best to keep working, find new work that can be done completely from the confines of our respective apartments, try to channel kind of like our energies into those projects that we've been wanting to do for a while. But also it's hard when you are on the brink of really kind of spooky, strange times. I don't really kind of have a like clincher for this, even though it may sound like it, but just kind of like, how are you guys doing first and foremost? How are we all kind of managing to stay creative in a time like this?
That is the question, right? And I think like for me, the first step has been like managing to stay. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we're gonna take this one word at a time.
Exactly. And that's what I found helpful is to just like narrow my horizons for what's possible, and for what I even can worry about. Because as you say, in theory, we have all this free time now, and I have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of things that I would like to do with that free time.
We have been given the luxury of time.
Exactly. Creative projects, just like, you know, maybe I will finally watch this TV show. I haven't seen this film mm-hmm. yet, and it's a giant blind spot. I should do that. But of course, you know, the circumstances are so strange and the baseline of anxiety is so high that it's kind of hard to, you know, your coping is taking up so much energy that you don't actually have as much time to put into things that you think you do. And so for me, like, and I have not mastered this. I want to be clear about that. But like the adjustment I've been trying to make is to just be like, you know, my horizon is like today is at the maximum at like the tallest peak in the land is this week. And whatever I can do and whatever I can see that far ahead is stuff that I will deal with. And everything else is just off the edge of the world. I don't know. What about you, Zach?
I resonated with a lot of that, Sarah. And before I get into my perspective, dear listeners, if you do hear a vacuum going off, that's because my roommates, who normally work during these hours, are home being good roommates and vacuuming, and clearly haven't seen my text about recording. And so,
there you go. There's that proof of we're all at home, in case anybody doubted us.
All right, they may have just gotten the message. Anyway, I just heard it power down. Yeah, there we go. There's the thumbs up on the message. So I have been in a very similar boat, Sarah, with being like sort of hands rubbing together, like, ooh, like all the time to work on that like EP and learning more music stuff and all that. Yeah. Hooray. And of course, time doesn't work the way you think it will in your head in reality, especially in a global pandemic lockdown. One, I've definitely noticed a heightening of my attentional challenges with the sort of cooped up factor of, you know, I was theoretically exposed via somebody close to me who was theoretically exposed via their work. And so I was in self-isolation for the better part of 2 weeks, about a week ago. So I've been
in
this
good citizen thing and took yourself out of the rotation.
Exactamundo, which has meant that I've seen very little daylight living in a basement. I'm sorry, a garden level apartment. all you realtors out there with your generous words for things that are actually darker and damper than you. then you make it sound.
This is going to a real Parasite place here, Zach.
Oh, no.
I live in that movie a little bit. I've been doing what I can to not smack my head against the light switch and yell, respect! I think that baseline of anxiety has made, and just like attentionally being like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What day is it? What time is it? Has made using that free time productively more challenging than I would have expected before all this started, if you had given me a sort of executive summary of what the next several months of my life would look like. Not that we know for sure that it'll be the next several months, knock on wood, and I'm, you know, prepared for what it seems like other countries have dealt with multiple months. So, and my aunt is in Italy. Like several months ahead. She's safe and fine, has been like discovering herself as a teacher in this time.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's like become an educator of all ages through Zoom. It's adorable and beautiful and really cool to see. And has also given me something to like sort of get a sense of where the hell this is all going. The other complicating factor for me in this time is about a week or two before this whole thing started, I got a new job, which I'm incredibly grateful for, given that all my housemates work retail and can't earn money, and rent still is due, at least for now. And so I'm counting my lucky stars. And it's been a fucking hustle. The job is...
Right, like, you've been dealing with two seismic shifts at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
And the job itself is a, like, 6-episode-a-week daily show that needed to happen as of week one without much development time. So it's just been a sprint, and coupling in, like, getting, like, co-workers online for remote recording and juggling all that, and just like with like how deadlines work for like when I need to get things to the audio engineer to like fix things before they go live. Like, I've just been pulling regular all-nighters every week, like one or two nights a week, and it's not sustainable, and especially as there's like a heightened risk for staying healthy and not getting sick. And that's been like a real thing that I've been trying to solve. And I think finally we have enough episodes in a backlog that I can take a breath and get a more normal sleep starting next week.
yeah.
So, you know, only 5 weeks of an inhuman schedule. That's fine.
I feel for all of us, normality is always 1 week away. Normality always starts next week.
That really is. I have been exercising, so I have, and I have been eating better. So, like, the only thing, and hydrating. The sleep is the weakest link. Goodbye.
It's like those three triangles, you know, you can have two, but not all three.
Right. The iron dry. You can have it fast, cheap, or quick. Or good.
You can eat well, exercise, or be rested.
Right. And so, so I have those two. I guess I've just generally had less time than I've wanted. And the time that I have off just feels incredibly unhealthy to spend in the same chair, staring at the same screen that I was just working at the whole time.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I'm figuring out. And I don't know if there's a solution to that one, except maybe like I just play music to play music and I don't record it on a digital audio workstation because, you know, maybe this is just for me right now and that's fine. And like, actually, maybe that's healthy. I don't know. These are the questions that I have in this time.
No, that's, I think that that's absolutely a very real challenge. Right now, the thing that I'm kind of doing to unwind and distract myself when I'm done with work is I'm playing a computer RPG, playing a video game. It's called Divinity 2 Original Sin, which Sarah
I love that you already knew that, Sarah.
It's because I have played it. It is very fun.
You've lured him into this.
And it is very fun, and it has sort of that quality of, like, great CRPGs where after a certain point, it's almost like sitting down with a book that is really long, but it's all these characters that you really like and this plot that you don't know where it's going to go, but you're sort of, you know, making your way through it, and you can just kind of, like, feel like, oh, man, I'm already in this, and I'm only, like, a fifth of the way through this book. I can feel that it's like a really big, heavy, meaty book. So all that's great. And it's wonderful. It's a great distraction. It's a great kind of like way to lose myself and distract myself from the world. But just kind of in a physical sense, it means that when I'm working, I'm sitting at a table in my living room, hunched over a keyboard. And then when I'm not working, I'm sitting at the same table, hunched over the same keyboard, with just a different thing on the screen. And that wears you out in kind of like its own way. And that, I think, is sort of one of the things that is a real challenge in these things, that rest and tiredness or rest and kind of being out of gas, it isn't a binary. It is kind of this very complicated web of all of these interconnected values and the things that kind of replenish you on one end of it, put more strain on another one.
Absolutely. Can I complain to you guys for a second?
Please.
I don't know about y'all, but I have had like more evening plans over Zoom since this started than I've probably had on a weekly average basis in all of 2020. It's been like, let's watch this thing together and we're going to play D&D. And oh, my Pathfinder group can finally meet because everyone's work is canceled.
Yep.
Like, I have been dealing with sort of like the creeping resentment of being busy, even though all I do is stare at my computer.
And it's both great and wonderful.
It's
and
wonderful.
Also terrible.
And also
stressful.
Just like, it, you know, I'm still an introvert. I still only have so much energy to give.
Right.
Like on Monday, I think I had the first night in a long time of absolutely nothing and realized that I needed it. So I think part of this counterintuitively is, you know, building in unscheduled time in this giant chunk of unscheduled time.
Yep. I am with you 100%. I feel like my struggle with time management has been like, if I just woke up and like fed myself and went straight to work, I think I'd have more normal hours. But I think, like, I doubt that I would have connected with anybody. Like, I'd just be like in my vacuum mm-hmm. of like work and self-care alone. And it has been incredibly important for my mental health, I think, to reach out to people that I care about as they occur to me. Cause, you know, it's like I had like one circle the first week. And like as time goes on, it's like, oh shit, are they alive? And so I definitely have yet to find the balance of like, you know, maybe leaving it to text and not having it matriculate to like, oh, we should totally jump on Zoom for like, you know, the more far flung acquaintances and other friends.
Right.
I think that there was a lot of momentum and, you know, sort of social pressure in the beginning of this thing to be more connected than normal to make up for the lack of connection.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, Gabrielle, how your hashtag and Sarah, just in general, like how your hashtag creative lives have fared in this time. Because I know there are several projects we've been collaborating on and I've been getting drafts of things, however many, you know, minutes, hours, days late, and then reading them however many minutes, hours, days late myself.
Well, it's funny. There are two tweets that I saw that I think have kind of defined a little bit kind of like my brain's attempts to grapple with the situation that we're in and doing work while in that situation. And one's a bad tweet and one's a good tweet.
Excellent.
The bad tweet was someone that put something up, and I forget what the exact wording of it was, and I have no idea if this is true or if it's apocryphal. I would believe either one. But the first week that we all became indoor cats, someone posted this thing that basically went, hey, writers, by the way, remember, William Shakespeare wrote King Lear while in quarantine for a outbreak of the Black Plague. So, you know, chop, chop, get to it. Which is a horrible grenade to throw into like creative people's
and also deeply disingenuous, because plague was more of a common thing back in those days. So like a quarantine did not last and was not as far reaching as what we're going through, and was not as atypical a disruption. Sorry, right. I've read a book about the writing of
King
Lear,
amazing.
And so I have feelings about it. Continue your story, Gabrielle.
See, this is good. This is good to hear. Because my brain recognizes that tweet as bullshit, but there's still a part of it that is like, yeah, but, you know, come on. Still, though, chop, chop, the point remains. even no matter how bullshit of an expression it may be, there's a good point buried under there. The good tweet that I saw that has been kind of like the other part of it, and I think that this came courtesy of television writer Jose Molina, he put something up that kind of went, you know, guys, let's all get clear about this. We're not working from home. We are attempting to work while forced to stay at home because of a major health emergency. And those are two different things. You know, sort of the concept of working from home kind of speaks to a reality that none of us are in right now, because it isn't that we are choosing to work from home with kind of a similar set of support systems than we normally have. We are attempting to keep working while there is a major disruptive element kind of going on. And so I've been, I think, like taking turns in how I approach this in terms of kind of both like, all right, no, like, let's go. Let's try to do something today. Let's be creative. There's that thing that we've been meaning to write. Let's spend the day trying to figure it out. And also kind of going like, but remember, we're in the middle of a very overwhelming emergency. If the work can't happen today, that's not the worst thing ever. That is not a failure on the creative animal inside of you, as it were.
Can I ask you a question? Because it's something that I've been struggling, not struggling, but just like mindful of, I suppose, is has this sort of giant, weird, shared experience change how you're seeing your work? Because I'm dealing with something this week that I wrote like at the beginning of March, like not that long ago. But it feels, and it's partly maybe due to the subject matter, but just feels very different now that we're all in the middle of this thing.
It's curious. You know, we've talked a little bit about, I recently wrote the first draft of a novel, and I'm right now kind of gearing myself up with all the scuba gear to go back into those waters and figure out how to rewrite it. And I'm not sure how much all of this is going to impact that. But I have had sort of like the thought of kind of like, oh man, this is a book that is theoretically set in 2021.
Right.
These characters' personal histories are now radically different than anything that I realized while writing this book. They have now all gone through a period of grand societal trauma. And how does that impact them? How does that affect them? How does that kind of reverberate throughout the events of the book? So
one of them doesn't notice.
Yeah. Well,
there's one. But
the
yes.
Sad part is I know exactly which one.
Yes, you do.
Sarah, needless to say, is intimately acquainted, and Zach too, with the details of this. But
yes.
Yeah, but I think that I'm getting to the point of beginning to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it can't not, but also, like, you know, maybe I'll get to a place where this is different, but I don't want to, like, set anything that I've, you know, previously had on my back burner aside either. Like, I don't, you know, feel like I need to go write different stuff now. But it's just, I don't know, it's a new lens on everything I'm working on and sort of what my creative impulses even are.
Stuff like this, I think it changes where you're standing.
Yeah.
And inevitably, that means that you relate to things differently. And, you know, neither good nor bad, but it absolutely kind of like warps your vision of something a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely reoriented my priorities. And some of that I've been hamstrung in like implementing as I, you know, balance making a living and bringing in enough money to not go homeless in the event that my landlord can't take less or no rent, in the event that my roommates can't go back to work anytime soon. But like,
and assuming that toilet paper does not become the barter economy currency. That...
Oh baby, if that happens,
you're set.
I happen to have, like, I've always just ordered a little bit more paper than I've needed. But I also have like a $60 plastic bidet that I strapped onto my toilet. So I've just been like really grateful to pass Zach.
Yeah, spare a thought for the bidet industry, guys, because if it wasn't going to catch on now, it just won't.
Actually,
in the States.
As are like all those home devices, so nobody has to touch any light switches and like locks and things. I have a public health rant at the end of this that maybe we'll do.
We can do that as a special for Patreon.
just like wear a mask, make it out of your like paper towels or an old t-shirt. If it doesn't prevent you from getting infected, it will prevent you from spreading it if you have it asymptomatically. And all evidence shows that it can help prevent you getting it also. And I think the only reason the World Health Organization said don't wear masks was sort of a paternalistic lie to get people that are crazy to stop stockpiling things that health professionals in the front line should have, which are 3M respirators. N95 respirators, which we need more of, and hopefully that will get met. But yeah, old t-shirts will do it, whatever. More resources by Googling. I wanted to weigh in on the like has this changed how you see what you work on or what you're working on? I have been doing a personal daily podcast that I haven't advertised all that much, feed called Focused AF. Where I've been reading daily meditations by this dude named Jiddu Krishnamurti, who I've talked both of your ears off about at length. And And by studying that guy, I ended up finding out about this other guy named Yuji. It took a global pandemic for me to finally take the risk of calling some of the people that have written memoir accounts of spending time with this guy named Yuji, who also interacted with this other guy named JK. I know this is a little confusing, but the point is that, like, I, you know, am now in contact with people whose work I've been reading and whose videos of these historical people I've, like, been watching. And they very much welcomed me into their fold. It's very interesting. And it's changing at least my intention of what
That's
I'd like
awesome,
to do
man.
With the podcast for the rest of the year. And the way I've been recording the podcast is I have this little recorder that only records for 6 minutes at a stretch. So I read the page a day from this book that I got permission to read from and then let it run for the rest of the tape. And that's just like, okay, that's a meditation tape. Now, instead of just letting it run and like laying down and just like breathing or whatever I was doing, I'm actually using the rest of the 6 minutes that I'm not reading to write scripts that I'll read later in the podcast once they're sharp enough and ready for public consumption. I'm just trusting that people are going to be fine sitting through my typing sounds as like part of their meditation tape. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. It started last night and we'll see how far I can take it.
I think that that's in general where we all are right now. Kind of, we're trying to keep things going or trying new things and we'll see how far we can take it. And I think that, like, even though it is hard, it's also been a little bit of a source of, I don't know if comfort is the right word, yeah. But I think, like, badly needed drive in times like this to be trying to still keep tackling those things and trying to keep moving them forward.
Yeah, not taking tomorrow for granted so much these days.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's maybe a good place to leave it for now. Thank y'all so much for listening to the show, and we hope that our, you know, Skype group therapy session was useful for you too. We will be back with the regular game next week, but in the meantime, hope that you're all well, hope you're washing your hands, and hope you get to work on something awesome this year.
And tell us what you're working on. Hit us up on Twitter at No Bad Ideas Pod and tell us a little bit about what you're doing to keep yourself going during these indoor times.
And if you make a homemade mask, I want photos. Arts and crafts for days.
Yes, especially send us those.
Yes, we are here. That is, I think, the message that we want to leave you with is that we are all stuck in our homes, but we are also all here. So see you next week.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.